The Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2.
I'm in a Applause coming from the Musa in Göttingen in Germany, recorded in October of last year. Opening up The Raven and the Blues. Omar and the Howlers, title track of the album, and Bamboozled. They were going to be on tour here in the UK. I heard this week that they're not anymore, sadly. Not quite sure why they're not coming across, but they aren't going to be doing any European tour. Actually, I may have got that wrong. It could be not coming to the UK, but they're going to the rest of Germany. Anyway, we'll find out more, and I'll let you know in a couple of weeks' time. However, I should do the programme intro, shouldn't I, really? It's The Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2, on 30-odd transmitters across the world. On FM, on BFBS, and also, of course, on Skybird Radio, and, of course, as a listen again and as a podcast. Okay, that's the announcements out the way. One band who were going to be travelling with Omar and the Howlers, and I believe still are, because they're going to be my guests in a couple of weeks' time, which is great news. They're called the Mercy Brothers. They have a new album out on Corazon Records called Strange Adventure. We've already featured one track from them. Here's a reminder who my guests will be in, let's see, one, two, three weeks from now, I guess. Stuff. The album Strange Adventure, the guys, I was going to say the band, it's a duo, the Mercy Brothers, and they're going to be a guest on The Raven and the Blues in 2 weeks' time. It's been a great season this last couple of weeks for guests, because we've got a guest this week, Dave Arcari. We've got a guest next week, and that's another Dave Kelly of the Blues Band, and also the Dave Kelly Band, and so in a couple of weeks' time it'll be the Mercy Brothers too. Dave Arcari coming up, I would think, in about 20 minutes or thereabouts in conversation, and I'm looking forward to that enormously. Ace Records bring out occasionally they're like EPs, because what Ace Records tend to do is they remaster old recordings from record labels back in the 1950s and 60s. But of course, we can get far more on a CD than you could on an album, so what they do is add extra bonus tracks. But every now and again, they bring out these rather special ones, which is it's an exact recreation of the album as it was back in the 1950s or 60s. And so it's on a thin cardboard sleeve, but it just looks like a miniature version of the album. Same front cover, same notes at the back, and it just brings a warmth to my heart, because I loved vinyl. And I haven't, after all these years, 20-odd years, really got fully used to CDs, even though they can squeeze a lot on the sleeve notes inside. But I suppose it's probably, there are kids around now who've never seen a piece of vinyl, and presumably in another 10 or 15 years' time, there'll be kids who've never seen a CD either. I tell you all this because here is one of these mini CDs or mini albums in front of me. It's from Roosevelt Sykes. It's called Sings the Blues. It's originally on Crown Records back in the 1950s. And not only a joy to hold because it's like a mini album, but also it's some great blues on it. Here we go, back now, almost 40 years, with a track called Gone with the Wind. Called Hip Pocket Editions because they are pretty small and they sort of fit into your pocket. Roosevelt Sykes Sings the Blues, the album originally on Crown Records from 1962. I'm not quite sure what price they're going to retail in the shops, because as I say, Ace normally put out lots of stuff on the albums themselves, and just to have like 10 tracks presumably means it may be a bit cheaper, but great. The Honey Dripper there, Roosevelt Sykes, Sings the Blues, the album, and Gone with the Wind. And let's stay with the Hip Pocket Editions and this time go back a little bit earlier to the 1950s. Hadda Brooks now, great, great blues and jazz voice. The album as it came out then in the 1950s is called Femme Fatale. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 tracks, that's all you get. But 10 great examples of how blues and jazz were working together back 50 years ago. Mm-hmm.
feeling dream, that's the thing to do. Just watch the smoke rings rise in the air. You'll find your share of memories there. So dream all the whole day through. Dream. Things never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream, dream.
Ago, the equipment they had in recording studios was a lot more limited than they have today. And there you had to be able to sing. There were no gadgets and gizmos to tweak the voice and bring you back in tune. And I think some of today's crop of female singers could take a huge lesson from Hada Brooks there from the 1950s. The album Femme Fatale on Crown Records, originally, now out on Ace Records, is a hip pocket edition, beautifully put together. And if you enjoyed that, you'll enjoy the other 9 tracks on the album. If you want to find out links to where to get these things from, it's pretty simple. Let's mention the Raven and the Blues site and the email address, dave.raven@bfbs.com, and the website, of course, bfbs.com/R&B. I have been unbelievably remiss. Well, it's kind of snowed under. I went to look at my email here, and I've got 2,353 items in my inbox, and then on the blues box, 944, many of which do need a reply and haven't had one, I'm so sorry. I do hope that by the time we get into early December, there'll be a window of opportunity for me to be able to reply. There's lots of people I know waiting for answers. One I can, actually, let's do it straight away, and that is Robert Maines sent me an email saying, I'm a fan of the programme, and but normally I'm just wondering, on some of the interviews, or the recent interviews, I'm not getting them as far as the podcast feed. And there is a reason for that, Robert. It's not because I have got the RSS feeds incorrect. It's actually because of some other listeners, regular listeners of the programme, who said, can you sort of not send us the special full-length interviews, and if we want them, we'll go and get them. So I thought I'd try it out. If enough of you feel the opposite way, we'll bring it back to the way it used to be. So now, when you hear the interviews, you'll hear a little bit later on when we have Dave Arcari in a few minutes' time. If you want to hear the whole thing, you actually sort of physically have to go to the website and click on the link to get it. Otherwise, it won't come automatically. It's really just a matter so you don't get a duplication of the fact. Okay, having mentioned Dave Arcari, he will be with us, including his two National Steel guitars, in about 5 minutes' time. Let's head up there with this, which kind of sets the scene in a way. It comes from the great Chicago blues man, Steve Harvey.
My thoughts were all mistaken. What to be was what to be. The clouds have passed over. The shore is now in view. Every little thing that's on my mind. Did I want to be? Faith and trust will guide the way. That's all I need to know. Gets so clear. The world turns so fastly. All the futures are so near. A little bit of compromise won't subject us from our. Little.
Blues with a hint of reggae, taken from the album Free Range. Pete Cornelius together with Steve Harvey. Steve on his own there with that particular one. And that is called The Picture. It's the Raven of the Blues on BFS Radio 2 and also on Skybird Radio on the east coast of the USA. And of course, as a listen again, as a podcast for 6,000 or so subscribers every week. If you were listening to the show last week, you'll have heard me say I went to see Dave Akari working live at a pub in near Twickenham in southwest London. What I didn't say was that afterwards we kind of hoped we could get together, and we have.
We did. We did, we
it's,
are.
It's good to see you here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It sounds like you're on a little mini tour of the south of UK, is it?
Yeah, loads of gigs going on. This is the first of four trips. Down London, well, not so much London, but south of England, south coast of England, between now and Christmas. So we're up and down the country like a yo-yo.
Oh, it's like real old road days then, really.
Definitely.
Yes, yeah. Is it just the south or bits in the middle as well?
Yeah, bits in the middle as well. We started off with the Turkhead Twickenham gig, and we've got Buckingham, Swindon, Lydney. Wherever Lydney is, Forest of Dean.
Oh, but right, yes.
My geography.
That's almost on the Welsh border.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's Forest of Dean. Yeah, I think it's Welsh border. Yeah,
it Lydney. Sounds great.
Yeah, I've been there, Lydney, yes. Very small place. Yeah.
Bluefront Blues Room at the Miners Arms.
Ah, right.
With Bob Brosman. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
And then Sunderland on the way back up the road.
Ah, right.
So we've got about five on this trip, and then we're back home for 3 or 4 days. And then what have we got? We've got Exeter with Georgie Fame. And Brighton. So I don't know if Georgie Fame's...
So you'll be getting lots of nectar points on your fuel then, are you?
Yeah, Sainsbury's garage. Any garage that takes a nectar card, we'll be there.
Do you normally do a fair amount of travelling? I know you do in Scotland, but you don't often come south, do you, really?
Not in the past. This whole solo thing is really quite new, as you know, for me. You know, I've normally done stuff with a band. Now I'm really focusing on the solo stuff. Full time, so playing gigs, selling records, writing songs. If I had more time to write songs, but because we just seem to get caught up in the admin of everything, you know.
But watching you last night, because often the band is a good prop, really, you know, because you can mix it together, and when things are going well, you can turn and have, you know, it's a good sort of camaraderie thing. On your own on stage, it's a very quiet and lonely place, but you didn't
seem lonely, scary.
But you didn't seem to be missing the band, so to speak. You fill the stage, and you seem pretty happy in your own company. Is that something which you've always had, or it's taken time?
Yeah, I think I have. I've only just realised it more recently. Last year, I played headlined a fairly big festival in Estonia. And that was really the first of the solo gigs in a completely unknown territory. You're going playing a show somewhere where you know nobody.
Yes.
So if things are going to go wrong, they're going to go wrong big time. Plus, you're in a country that you just can't speak the language and all sorts of...
But a good blues heritage, Estonia.
A lot, yeah.
So I've got something this morning from Bullfrog Brown, who are from Estonia.
The very guys that I did a whole bunch of shows with.
Oh, really?
And in fact, they're coming to Scotland in a fortnight. But going on, you know, they'd organised through this other festival to have me on as one of the gigs over there. And it was Saturday night. It was an old ruined castle. The place was heaving with people. Well, 2,000 or 3,000 people, which to me is a big crowd. And we got there about... We sound checked in the afternoon and everything was fine. Got there about 8:30. I think I was on about 9 o'clock. And the band that was playing before me was on stage. 7-piece band. Horn section, keyboards, percussion. Sophisticated. And I looked at Margaret and said, I've got to go on there, just me and my wee tin guitar. And it's going to be scary. A massive big stage. But, you know, I went out there, and as soon as I hit the guitar and I heard it going, I just thought, rock and roll. And it was fine. But it was really... Psychologically, it's hard going on in front of a whole load of people on a big stage by yourself. It can seem daunting.
Especially as the blues itself, it's a pretty wide genre. There are a whole range. I mean, last night was a good example of the different styles of blues you can have on one gig in one night. And your blues is hard, it's noisy, it's uncompromising. And so therefore, you know, it doesn't take any prisoners, does it?
No, not at all.
That's the music. You can't command the top deck of the houseboat the way that you can the stage, because if you start strumming around too much, you'll fall over the edge. But so in a sitting position, you've got your two national guitars, and you call this the brown one.
The brown one.
The brown one. We've mic'd it up a bit differently. I've got a little Avalia clip mic on it, because normally I just have a mic somewhere on the sound box. But so we're not quite sure how it's going to work. We did a sort of quick sound check. It sounds okay, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it sounds cool.
Yeah. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I don't know. What should I do? What's good to do? We could do Red Letter Blues, because that's a new one.
I read your letter yesterday, tear in my eye. Oh, when I say, oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. I wasn't looking for a ride. Taxi pulled up right outside. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Driver said, son, are you going to town? Oh, I don't know, just take me on down. Driver took me back in time. Now we're further down that line. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Didn't know you could be strong, for you didn't do no wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Let me take you by the hand. Don't know how you understand. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this way. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this. It has to be this way. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, it has to be this.
Taken off your, it must be new because I haven't got it. So is it spanking new or?
Spanking new.
Right.
Spanking new this week. So volume two, which is the.
Another five track sort of mini EP type thing. Is that, are you resurrecting the EP as an art form sort of thing? Or is it, what's making you do the. Because the first one had five tracks on it too. So what's making you sort of have
lots of five track ones, isn't
there? Yeah.
I basically haven't written enough new songs. No, that's not really the reason. Basically, the first EP, the Blue Country Steel one from 2 years ago, was a toe in the water.
Right.
Let's see what happens here, because nobody might buy it, or they might throw pies at me. But we did it, and they bought it, and people played it.
Yeah.
So it came time to do some more stuff, and I had a bit more than an album's worth that I wanted to record. And I thought, I'll put the album out. You know, you send an album out to the press and to the radio, and it gets you get quite a lot of airplay or coverage for a week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe even a couple of months after it comes out. Then it probably needs something to trigger it being played again.
Yeah.
Because people have big CD collections and, you know, new stuff comes in. So I thought, rather than just doing that, why not take all the tracks, put out a couple of small low-key releases, but it's just like a slow drip feed. So every couple of months, there's another reason for people to play and to get another review somewhere or whatever. So there was that side of it, just to try and keep a new release coming every so often. And also, I think it's important, I particularly at gigs, to have something that's, you know, an album's a tenner.
Yeah.
An EP you can sell for £4 or £5.
Yeah, I see the logic, yeah.
It is for people who maybe have kept enough money to get, you know, a bus or a taxi home and maybe get a kebab or a bag of chips. But, you know, a fiver's maybe not going to eat into that much. But if they have to spend a tenner, there go the chips, you know.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I get pretty hungry after beer, so I might just be tempted. So, really, the whole idea was to try and have something that was affordable and also to give people a selection.
It's good logic. Has it worked? I mean, is that the way it seems
it
to have worked?
It does seem to be working quite well. And the first of the two companion EPs that have just come out, the one with cover versions, as you'll remember, I'm not big on cover versions. But things would creep into the set. I did a Johnny Cash song for the BBC a year ago. There was a Frankie Miller track. There was a whole load of things that people kept asking for. And I thought, if I put them all in one, then, you know, I can kind of disown it. You know, if you like the covers, this is for you.
Yes, yes, which Frankie Miller one did he do?
Oh, the Frankie Miller one isn't actually. That's
going to say
it's not on there.
So were you involved in his in the Big Benefit concert?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, I kind of love Frankie Miller, and I couldn't really see what am I? Why I can't sing a Frankie Miller song? It's kind of sacrilegious, you know.
Yes.
And so I started going through all these old demos. I got access to a whole load of back catalogue of stuff that was never released, and I found this song called One More Heartbreak, and it was a song that kind of went, or I thought would fit into that.
Yes.
And but it was 6.5 minutes long, and it was slow. So you don't need to second guess what happened to it.
Yes.
It's now about 2 minutes long. And
faster.
I don't even know if it's on the forthcoming album.
Ah, right.
I can't remember. I don't think I've recorded it by myself. One More Heartbreak. I can imagine not being able
to. You thrust this into my hand last night, and no, it's not on here either, so it's obviously something planned for 2007.
That'll be on the next. Yes. So that's one that we can do for the future.
You mentioned the road stuff stops you writing. Is that literally because you have to sit down and concentrate on the writing, and when you're on the road, there isn't that sort of time or freedom or anything?
Yeah, we tend to be. You know, we travel quite tight, and there's the two of us that travel. Margaret, who does all my bookings and looks after me and sells stuff at gigs, and just
the lady without whom nothing would be possible.
Yeah, and there's also my sounding board, and stops me putting my fist through the roof of the van when I get annoyed and all sorts of things. So, you know, we travel in a camper van, and we've got a PA for the smaller gigs and the guitars and stuff. So between the two of us and all the equipment, there's not much room in there. And if we have time and we've got, you know, time to stop somewhere, I can pick up the guitar and fiddle about, and that's kind of quite cool. At home, though, it's even worse, because Margaret's busy booking the gigs and doing all the things that go with that, and I'm busy trying to do the radio stuff and the press stuff and try to wheedle some TV bits here and there and posters and contracts and internet stuff and websites and MySpace and the list goes on. That, you know, we could be at it 24/7 and still not have done it all.
But you don't. This is not just for yourself, because also you are a promoter. You are, you know, you do as you say, posters. You're a designer, all that sort of thing. So you work for other people too, don't you? I mean, Buzz Records is you, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Buzz, yeah. I am Buzz Records.
Actually, by the way you were talking, I thought Margaret was becoming Miss Buzz.
Well, she is becoming more and more Buzz Records, and I'm becoming just more and more
the act,
Buzz.
You're the talent.
Yeah, we run the label, and that now is becoming more and more a vehicle. Now that I'm looking at doing this solo stuff full time, the label is more and more becoming, you know, an engine behind my own CDs. Now, the stuff with Radio Tones, it's difficult to do an awful lot because we're not on the road much. Mm. We're not gigging a lot.
Where's your drummer now? You said last night where your drummer is.
He's the Channel Islands. For 18 months.
Yeah, right.
So we, you know, any Radio Tones gigs in between times may just be like the old acoustic Radio Tones with a bass, harmonica and myself, and maybe a percussionist or whoever comes along. Or maybe we'll get a stand-in drummer, maybe we'll get a new drummer, who knows. But unless Radio Tones goes out on the road more, you know, it's difficult to put out records and make them work financially, because the bottom line is it's expensive.
Yeah. You still have the same level of excitement now you're doing it sort of all on your own, basically, as you had before?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I get excited when something appears in a magazine, when there's a line in the newspaper, when a new every time Margaret books a new gig, or a new place to go, or a return visit, or every element of it, you know, and you don't tire of, you know, when the manufacturer delivers the new CDs. You've heard the CD a million times. Yes. I've designed the artwork. I know what it's going to look like, but I still can't wait to open the box and hold one and look at it. It's terrible, but I can't help it.
Let's have something off one of the new, or perhaps something from the repertoire, which now goes back, well, quite some years. So yeah. Where should we go now?
Will we try the Frankie Miller song?
Yeah.
I might hit this one quite hard. If I can remember it. I don't often play it solo, but we'll give it a bash. It's called One More Heartbreak. And it was a 6.5 minute ballad. And it now goes like...
One more heartbreak, usual way. Here tomorrow, gone today. One more heartbreak, oh, that's how it goes. Send back my picture, send me back my clothes. One more heartbreak, wish you knew the pain and suffering you put me through. One more heartbreak, oh, that's how it goes. Just like history, that's already gone. One more heartbreak, phone the police, call out the army to keep the peace. One more heartbreak, oh, that's how it goes. Sure can be lovers, but baby, never friends. Heartbreaks by the dozen, they're going round. Guess I'll never know why you put me down.
Very done. Very differently to Frankie Miller's original, and that is Dave Arcari with One More Heartache. And once again, the usual thing. First of all, thanks so much to Dave for coming by together with Margaret. And if you want to hear the full interview with another extra track and some more conversation, it's pretty simple. Assuming you've got broadband or a reasonably high-speed connection to just, and it's not costing you an arm and a leg to get on, and just go to the Raven and the Blues site at bfbs.com/R&B and click on the link underneath the photograph of Dave. And for the first time in all the sessions, it's going right back to the spring of 2 years ago. So yeah, for 2.5 years, I've always taken a photograph of the artist, the live session, if you like, as they've been sitting here on the top deck. And David left, basically. And I suddenly thought, ah, the photo. So the photograph you'll see this time is Dave in the car park outside, which is not quite the same, I know. Next week, our guest is Dave Kelly of the Blues Band and the Dave Kelly Band too, and look forward to that as well. Okay. Actually, we mentioned from Estonia there, the band Bullfrog Brown, there in the UK over the next week or two, and here they are with a track from their album, which is called Snakes and Devils. And this was called I'll See You, Mr. Blues.
Troubles too.
their debut on The Raven and the Blues from Tartu in Estonia. That is the band Bullfrog Blown. The album is Snakes and Devils, a four-piece for the most part. Andreas Roots is the, I would guess, I suppose, one of the main songwriters within the band. And then also Alar Krivelsa. I'm going to make such a mess of their names. I'm so sorry, gentlemen. I'll try again. Alar Krivelsa on vocals and slide. Andreas, you've mentioned. Ular Kali on harmonica and Peter Peek on bass. And it's a good album. I haven't had it long enough to be able to hear all the tracks yet. We'll work our way through it. But they, as I say, are on tour here in the UK at present, but I'm not quite sure I'm going to get to see them, because their only gigs in London are at the opposite side of London, way down the estuary, and it's going to take like 3 hours to get there, so I think it's a bit out of the question. Back to the emails, and Robert Jordan from Kosovo, thanks for your kind email. Love to think that you like James Hunter as well, and raving about it, and also having heard CC Adcock on the programme debating about getting Lafayette Marquis, and could I play something else to sort of make your mind up one way or the other. Happy to do so. One of my favourite albums from a couple of years ago. Here's a track they did live when they were here at on the Houseboat on the Thames. That, I think that session is still available online. Yes, it is. If you go to the Raven and the Blue site, you can click on it from the summer of 2004. But here's the album version and Stealing All Day. Great to hear that again. The album came out in November, 2 years ago, and they appeared here on the houseboat. Actually, not on the houseboat, but they appeared in the Sunken Garden just outside. In the first two guests we had, which were the Y.O.'s and C.C. Adcock, way back in the summer of 2005, it was nice weather, and so we opened the venue to the Islanders. And it was a great gig with upright bass, Doyle Bramall playing a drum kit which was made out of cardboard boxes, Tarka Cordell, Danny Cordell's son, also on guitar. Great, great gig, and you'll still hear that on the website. And that's almost it for the Raven and the Blues, actually. If you'd like to write to me, I'd love to hear from you. dave.raven@bfbs.com is the email address. Don't forget the website, bfbs.com/R&B. A chance to hear Dave Arcari and all the other live guests we've had. It now runs across the page, down the bottom and across the other side. But I'm going to keep all the pictures and all the audio up there if we can. Dave Arcari was talking about Frankie Miller. And in case you don't know who Frankie Miller is, he was born back in the late 40s. He has a great, great blues and soul voice. He suffered a brain hemorrhage about 12 years ago, and he's been in rehab ever since. Let's close the programme with a track from his Long Way Home album. This one is called Guilty of the Crime. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. It's a new love story.